Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's happening?
Oh, it's Monday.
Oh.
Everybody's in action tonight. Suns, Coyotes, Diamondbacks. Got triple
lot to watch.
Lot to watch tonight. Yeah, the A's in town and the
Suns. Melvin and the A's.
The Houston Rockets in town. The Coyotes desperately trying to cling to that playoff spot that they, as of right now, don't have. And the trade deadline came and went today.
I got a lot of information on that. I was on the phone, you know, for a little bit just now. So we'll give you a Coyotes update on 245, whether they came, you know, did they come close to making a trade? Who do teams want? Where are they? So we'll give you an update on, and a Darcy Kemper update as well.
Cards getting visits from free agent running backs, the one name that you kind of alerted us to keep an eye out for, James Conner.
Yes, that was the guy I said. If there's one running back that makes sense, keep your eye on James Conner. So he is in town and visiting, and we'll see if the Cardinals, remember, they don't have a lot of money. So if he's willing to take a minimum type deal, he's the guy. Like, he's the guy that they want right now, but he would have to come at very, very close to a minimum
deal. All right, so as you can tell, we got a lot to cover. Sarah's got the poll question. It's live right now, and we'll get an update on that at 2:30. Of course, Jordan's here. We got the whole team here. Everybody's here. It's all just big, happy Monday around here, right? Everybody's waving and smiling. Trying to look as pleasant as they can. All right. Let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, tell you what our lead story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
Did you watch 1 second of the guy from Japan winning the Masters? Because I know you liked golf a little
bit.
Yeah,
I did. You did?
I watched
that yesterday.
Yeah. It seems like a pretty cool story.
It's a great story.
I don't follow golf. I hate it. I despise that. I never watch it.
Did you see his caddy bow?
No, I didn't see that.
His caddy bowed to the course after he put the pin back in the hole on 18 after Matsuyama won it. He did the respectful Japanese bow as if to
good
show
to him.
Respect.
Yeah.
To awesome. The course
that's
itself.
Cool.
It was really
that's outstanding.
Cool.
Outstanding. What a great story. I really like that story. I didn't follow it. I didn't watch it, but first male golfer from Japan to win a major. Congratulations.
I did have my first golf lesson this week.
Oh, that's right. Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I'm taking golf lessons. Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. We hit the top of the story of the day thing, but since we're talking about golf real quick, I did have my first golf lesson today. And we've got a lot of work to do.
I feel like you're the type of golfer that is not so much concerned with the score, but maybe more so with the 19th hole.
I was going to say the beer cart
and
making sure it's rotational enough that it comes by every couple, three holes. Yeah, that has a lot
good
to do.
Good for you. I could never play.
I'm going to give it a shot.
You have to have patience.
I have a lot of friends who play. My son plays. I want to be able to spend that time with them, so I'm learning how to play golf. I've never played before in my life. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Anyway, so I did watch some of the
Matches. Anybody wants to invite Burnsy out for a round?
Not yet. Give me a couple of months.
Hit him up on Twitter.
Yes. A round of beers.
A round
and
of beers.
Then a round of golf.
And then a round of golf. Yeah. Exactly. We have to go in the proper order. We start our show today with the Arizona Diamondbacks. A little respectability over the weekend against the Reds.
And now the pitch is hit to right. And there is Pavin Smith under it. He's got it side retired. So a one-hitter through seven shutout innings for Luke Weaver. And if his afternoon has come to an end, what a day it was for him on the mound. And you hear the fans, Luke, as he heads to the dugout.
Luke. It's a great sign.
He was great yesterday.
It was a great sign. You know, on Friday, and I know you were at the game, and I showed up a little bit late. I went for a few innings on Friday for the home opener. When they were losing that game, and they were getting shut out, and they were getting no hit and everything, I'm like, this team's going to lose 100 baseball games.
I was going to say, am I allowed to say on the air what you texted me in the fifth inning of that game? Because in the fifth inning of that game, I got a text from Gambo. 100 losses. You heard it here first.
They just got 3 out of 4 to the Padres, 2 out of 3 to the Rockies. They're getting slaughtered by the Reds. I'm like, there was no life. It was just like, oh, my God, this team's going to lose 100 baseball games. They came back. They made it a game. They lost that game, but they came back the next 2 days, and the starting pitching was really good, and the offense came alive, and they won those 2 games. And now you know, I have a lot more optimism today than I did on Friday during the game.
Well, I mean, I think we knew a couple things. I mean, as bad as they were those first seven games of the season, I mean, they hit, what, 209, I think, as a team. And we'll talk more about the offense in a little bit. We knew they weren't going to hit that poorly. I mean, it's almost impossible to be that bad over 162. Yeah. We knew they weren't going to pitch that poorly. And no one is saying that three games against the Cincinnati Reds is going to define a season or mark some sort of a turnaround. But it was refreshing to see everything that they had done so poorly in those first seven games of the season that they started to kind of fix and improve it. I think it actually started on Friday night when they kind of had that rally against the Reds and they sent it into extra innings, right? The two-run double by Calhoun, the homer by Escobar. They didn't win that game.
Escobar home run tied it, right?
Yes,
yep, it did. The Escobar home run tied it.
And a curious late game decisions from Torrey on Mad Bum pinch hitting in the ninth. You know, that kind of go for it moment. But then that carried over into Saturday. Riley Smith pitched very
good,
very well on Saturday afternoon.
Yes,
right, very well, surprisingly well.
You know, and that was the and you know, we'll get into Mad Bum who's pitching tonight. But to get Riley Smith, and you're hoping that you're going to get Gallen back maybe even by
tomorrow. Potentially.
You might have Zach Gallen back. I haven't heard yet, but we could have Zach Gallen back tomorrow. And all of a sudden, I mean, Luke Weaver, boy, we had talked about Luke Weaver too. I said he's one of the biggest keys to this whole season because who is he? I mean, they gave up Paul Goldschmidt to get this guy. Is he a frontline starting pitcher or is he not? And his two outings so far, first one he gave up, didn't he give up three home runs in that first outing?
Three home runs, three earned runs,
right,
and five and two-thirds.
Okay,
and it's a Coors Field, which is, you know, it's a tough place to pitch. So it was an okay outing for
him.
But
then you come back against the Reds, who had come into this series with, the best offense. They were mashing the ball all over the place. And he pitched a gem of a game. He was absolutely outstanding. So great to see. And a good sign for the D-backs that, you know, that if a guy like Luke Weaver can go out there and dominate and be good, it gives you some hope that the rotation is going to be
fine. Yeah, the question of who is he, and we've seen two completely different versions of Luke Weaver so far since that trade. In 2019, he was maybe the best pitcher the Diamondbacks had until he had that elbow injury and he only had one appearance the rest of the season. He was really good the first 2 months of the season. Last year, he was really bad, 1-9 with an ERA of 6.5 in 12 games. He was all, and so this year, it was, who are you going to get? Which version is he? I remember during our roundtable show on opening day, I had even suggested, you know, some people I talked to wonder if he should be their closer because he might not be set up for anything else. And of course, that's not a desirable outcome for anybody, not when you're making him, you know, when you're trading.
They just made Caleb Smith a reliever, too.
Right, when you're getting him in a trade for Paul Goldschmidt, and you just keep moving starters to the bullpen, that's no good.
Archie Bradley was a starter. He went to the bullpen. Caleb Smith started the bullpen. I mean, when they had Max Scherzer, like, he's probably better as a bullpen guy. Like, you need starters.
Yeah.
You know, you need starting pitchers.
Yeah, Torrey Lovello called it a special day for Weaver and said he definitely set the tone yesterday.
Yeah, I think that Luke Weaver set an unbelievable tone and was attacking the zone. And like I just was trying to say that there was a really, really good rhythm to this team's effort. You know, it was, you know, moving both sides, you know, swiftly at the right times and then patiently on the other side of it. And really Luke took it from there. Once we got the lead, he just kept throwing up a lot of zeros. You shut out a team that has scored over 50 runs, I think, before they came in here. I'm not sure what the exact number is, but it's a lot. When you shut them out, you've done something pretty special. So we've done a really good job over the past couple of days of attacking game plans and getting the job done.
After the first game on Friday, the Reds had the best record in the major leagues. Their 63 runs through the first seven games were the best in team history.
Yeah, they were just Naquin and Castellanos, and they were just really hitting the ball well. They had the worst spring training of any team in either league. They were the worst team in all the spring training, win many games. They got off to that 5-1 start. That was their best start since 2016. And it was the offense that was real. The starting pitching was good, too, but the offense was really, really carrying them. So to shut them down the way Luke Weaver did is, I mean, it's just a great sign. And, you know, those games when you lose the first one and win the second one or vice versa, that third game,
sure. There's
just a lot of importance to, you know, because you could be, if they lose that game, now you're talking about they lost the series to the Padres, they lost the series to the Rockies, they lost the series to the Reds. Oh, my God, they've lost all three series they played.
Yep.
This kind of, like, Because what you need, what you hope for, this is what you hope for. Look, they're not going to be better than the Dodgers or Padres. Okay, the Dodgers are killing everybody right now again. They're not going to be better. I know what you know it. They're not going to be better than the Padres, who, by the way, when I was at the ballpark, there was a lady next to me with her husband, and they had the phone on, and they were watching the Padres no-hitter. So I was watching it as it happened.
The Joe Musgrove. First no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was waiting for my cheesesteak. I got the Joe Musgrove no-hitter while I was waiting for my cheesesteak. It's a joke.
You were waiting for your cheesesteak?
Yes.
a long time for your cheesesteak?
Yes.
Yes, a lot of people were waiting a long time for cheesesteaks, from what I understand, on Friday night.
Well,
yes, a lot of people.
Listen, Derek Cole did a great job of showing leadership, taking initiative with all the issues they had on Friday night.
Because there were some issues.
You had issues.
Well, I had issues. You had issues.
I had issues. We lost money.
there were issues. Yes,
you ordered food that never came.
But I mean, look, aside from that, because I know that was very upsetting for a lot of folks on Friday evening, but aside from that, look, Zach Gallen, if it's not tomorrow, it's soon, okay? Merrill Kelly, I think we all assume that Merrill Kelly's going to be better than he's been the first couple starts of the season.
I do like him as a pitcher.
If they found something in Riley Smith, and if Luke Weaver's going to have kind of this bounce-back season and be more like 2019 version, well, now you start talking about a rotation where you can start to see the pieces where they can at least be competitive this season. You know, where maybe that text I got from you in the fifth inning, oh, my God, this team's going to lose 100 games this season. Maybe if they've got the rotation to combat that.
Did you not feel that same way?
Oh, they were dead.
They were dead man walking.
They were so flat. They had nothing. They had no juice, none whatsoever. But if that's who Luke Weaver's going to be this year, right? And he's going to be like at every start. That's who Riley Smith's going to be this year? And Zach Gallen comes back soon? At least they can be relevant.
Hang around 500 with the extra wild card team, if you could get through July and you're a 500 baseball team, you're in it for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
You're in it. You might be 3, 4, 5 games out, but you are in it.
Yeah.
At that point.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Gambo has said for a while he's a player who's been on the Cardinals' radar. Now with his visit to Arizona, have the Cardinals found their veteran running back in James Conner? We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo show. All right, stay with us. We'll be talking Suns basketball in about 15 minutes or so after their win over the weekend against the Wizards. And with the Houston Rockets in town tonight, the last significant homestand of the year for the Phoenix Suns continues this evening. Only 20 games left on the season. But because that game was a couple of days ago, instead we kind of want to focus on more of the here and the now. And perhaps there is no more here than now than the man who is reportedly here now. And that is free agent running back James Conner, according to a report visiting with the Arizona Cardinals. I saw your tweet earlier today in which you kind of retweeted yourself.
Yes.
And you had said, in the original tweet, you had said, I think this is the only running back left in free agency that they would even consider at this point, given their needs. You retweeted that with the words, "We will see," with the news today. I think it was Jay Glazer who was the one who reported he was in town for a visit.
Yes.
James Conner is here. He does check a lot of boxes for the Cardinals.
Yeah, he's the banger that you want. I mean, he is. He's the banger, the running back you want to take those tough yards. 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-2, and you need that tough yard. He's that guy. Led the Steelers in rushing in 2020 with 721 yards, 6 touchdowns, had 169 carries. He could also catch the ball a little bit. He had 35 catches out of the backfield, so he can catch the ball. He is a tough, hard-nosed runner. He was drafted in 2017, and he has missed games, right? I mean, it's one of the things. He missed 3 regular season games in 2020, 2 were the result of a positive COVID test. He had a quad injury. He's a good pass protector, which I think people like as a running back. He's a good pass protector. He's good at picking up the blitz and stuff like that. So he is a guy that they could look at and they could say, okay, outside of the durability concerns, if he's healthy, this is a guy that could give you those tough yards that you need.
Well, I think you also have to understand the context here. I'm not talking about you. I know you understand the context. But for people in general, understand what kind of we're talking about here. I don't think anybody's looking at James Conner, at least I'm not, as the lead back for the Arizona Cardinals in 2021. That job is Chase Edmonds. Yes. I mean, it's going to be – so I was listening to this when I was driving in. Bickley Murata had on earlier today the Steelers beat writer for The Athletic. His name is Mark Cabali. And Mark said, look, he kind of pointed out the injury issue with James Conner, almost as if to say, man, buyer beware if you think this guy is going to be your main running back.
Well, if you're expecting a guy to be a workhorse running back and a guy that's going to be able to give you 25, 30 carries a game, you're not thinking of the right guy. The problem when he had in Pittsburgh over the 4 years he was here was he's injury prone. I mean, this is even dating back to his final years in college when he had knee injuries. Every single year he had some sort of injury that kept him off the field for an extended period of time. I mean, it was just getting to the point where they could not count on him for an extended period of time, and that's been his biggest downfall, and who knows what it is. I mean, it's been a multitude of different injuries. You can't just point at one thing. I mean, it's knees, it's quads, it's shoulders, it's just about everything. So that's been the biggest downfall with him.
And while I appreciate his honesty, I really do, because usually you get a guy on from the hometown paper or the hometown website, oh, he's great, good guy, you're going to love him, he's awesome. I appreciate the honesty. You got to keep the context in mind here. He's not going to get 250 carries for the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to be a specialist.
He'll get 7 carries a game.
Right.
You know, give Chase a blow every now and then. Now, you know, if he needs to get more than that, but he's going to be the guy that comes in on those. Now, you don't want to... You don't want to choreograph it, right? Like telegraph it. Hey, James Conner's in on a 3rd-and-1. He's getting the ball. So you have to be, you know, you have to mix it up, and you have to have him in on some plays where he doesn't get the ball and some plays where you throw him the ball. And so it can't always be like here, when he comes into the game. So there may be times when he's in the game and he doesn't get the carry, but he's there because he can pick up the blitz and he can block and stuff like that. But he's the guy that you figure you want to use as much as possible on short yardage situation. It saves some of the wear and tear on Chase, mm-hmm. having to get those tough yards. And listen, this is what you do. This is the next rental car. You know, this is the
yes.
next. This is the next rental car that you're going to beat the hell out of. How many of you out there have had a rental car you beat the hell out of? A lot of you. You beat the hell out of it. You don't care.
Sure.
When I was in Ireland. And they're like, okay, you drive on the other side of the road and, you know, you drive on the other side of the car. Like, we do have an insurance to where if you pay for this, it doesn't matter what you do to the car, you don't have to pay a dime. I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. I had knocked off the left mirror. I knocked off the right mirror. I mean, I brought that car back.
Were you driving on the wrong side of the road, on the wrong side of the car?
No, the roads are so small.
Oh, okay.
The roads are so small. I think I hit a sheep.
Oh, no, poor sheep.
No, I didn't hit the sheep. Okay, good. But, like the roads are very, very small and narrow, so a lot of times you got to pull over and let the other car go, and then you go, and then you pull. But my mirrors kind of got knocked around. One of the mirrors was completely
off.
Was
the steering wheel on the correct side of the car, or was it on
the
European side of the car?
In Ireland, you drive on the other side of the road other side of the car.
See, that I don't know if my brain could handle it. I would need some practice on
that. The first 5 minutes, I'm Chelsea! And everything's a roundabout. Take the roundabout, take the roundabout, take the roundabout, take the roundabout. Everything's a roundabout. Yeah. So we're driving to the Cliffs of Moher, we're driving to Galway, and I'm driving this car. But, you know, that's the rental car. You know, you're going to beat the hell out of it. It's one year. You know, he's not going to get all those carries. But when I mean beat the hell out of him, hey, I need 1 yard. You're going to get pounded on this carry for 1 yard.
Yeah.
You're going to get hit by a defensive tackle and 2 linebackers on this carry. That's where you're going to get the hell beat out of him.
I looked it up. Last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, in 13 games in which he started 11, he had 204 total touches. I did the math real quick. That's about 15 touches per game. Okay. I don't think James Conner is coming here to get 15 touches a game.
No.
Not 15.
But nobody else signed him. And it's April 12th.
Yeah.
Goobie's birthday. Happy birthday, Goobie.
Happy birthday, Goobs.
Soon to be Dr. Gabriella.
I've been calling her Dr. Yeah. Goobs.
Dr. Goobs.
Yeah, she's
Dr. Goobs.
I mean, I don't talk to her, but
her name is. Do you match with your program? Doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah. Doctor.
Yeah. Her name's Gabriella, but we called her Goobie her whole life. Goobie.
Dr. Goobie. It's a
just
nice Goobie. Flow.
Dr. Goobie.
Does, right? Yeah. Dr. Goobie. Dr. Goobs. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Dr. Goobs.
For four weeks, she'll be a Goobie. She'll
Dr.
be a doctor.
Dr. Gambadoro.
Goobie Gambadoro. Goobie. So today's her birthday. She's 25 years old.
Dr. Gambadoro. Mm. Wow.
How about that?
It's the furthest anybody in my family's ever gone.
Yeah, we believe
the history of my family.
we were not surprised.
Yeah. In the history of my family, nobody's ever gone this far.
She's a pioneer.
Yeah,
she's an absolute
trailblazer.
Yes. She's an absolute trailblazer.
Love
yeah.
It.
So I look there. That's a really good point. He's been unsigned up until this point. Why? But I think part of it is his injury history. I think part of it is the position. And if the Cardinals can get him on a one-year deal where they're not paying him a whole lot of money, knowing that they're not asking him to be the main guy, then you do it. Did you see that one of the other running backs went off the board today, by the way? Giovanni Bernard went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, Bruce Arians grabbed him.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't find out if the Cardinals liked him or not. I tried. I couldn't find that out. I know Kalen Ballage, the former Sun Devil, signed with the Steelers, which to them was an indication that they weren't going to bring back James Conner. A couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, they got Kalen Ballage. So now we'll see it. James Conner is here. Look, they like him. I mean, I expect that a deal will get done. I'd be surprised if a deal didn't get done. Because as we said a few weeks ago, this is the one guy that makes some sense for them.
Yeah. You do not have to be a star athlete to get your signing bonus. All you need to do is text the word bonus right now to 620-620. And then listen for your name this afternoon, 3:35 here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Make sure you're listening at 3:35. We might call out your name and you might win $500. Text the word bonus to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Thanks to a huge third quarter performance, the Suns were able to bury the Wizards over the weekend. Can they do it tonight against another subpar team on the schedule? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Well, we have a blue Ford Escort for you, Mr. Seinfeld. Would you like insurance?
Yeah, you better give me the insurance because I am going to beat the hell out of this one.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Normally, Gambo not a fan of these, but even this one caught his attention. We were in show prep and he's like, wait, they said what? And so we decided we turn it into a poll question. Sarah, what do you have for us today?
Power rankings.
Woo!
Is what Gambo is usually not all that psyched about. But right now, NBA.com has none other than the Phoenix Suns as the number one team in the NBA in their latest power rankings. The question is a yes or no question. Do the Phoenix Suns deserve that top spot in the power rankings?
Oh, man.
I've been thinking about how
I don't know. I don't know. I don't do power rankings. I don't do them.
Do you? Okay, put it differently. Are the Suns the best team in the NBA?
No.
Then the answer would be no.
Okay. What do you think?
Boy. Come on, Suns fan, number one. Just go there.
Only if you feel it in your heart.
I don't.
Favorite
I don't,
player was Dennis Johnson, if I know, remember correctly.
You remember correctly.
Right.
DJ Dennis Johnson.
My favorite player as a kid.
Cried like a baby when they traded him.
I did.
Who'd they get back for him? Ricky Roby?
Rick Roby.
Oh, my God.
It makes me nauseated just thinking about it.
Jerry, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah,
Jerry?
Really, come on, Jerry. No, I do not think they deserve to be number one in the power rankings. I don't think they're the best team in the NBA.
Okay.
Sorry to let you down. What does our audience say?
Oh, that doesn't let me down.
No, okay. What does our audience
say? I'm just reading you the responses.
What do the responses say?
57% of our voters say yes.
Really?
The Suns do deserve to be at the top of those power rankings. 43% say no. And I specifically asked, hey, leave your reasoning in the replies. And so we've got a ton of comments, a ton of people making valid points
sure.
for both sides.
Sure.
It's just really, what do you feel?
If I were making the argument for the affirmative, I think I would say that if you believe that Utah was the number one ranked
yes.
team and the Suns just beat the Utah Jazz, it's almost like an AP top 25 vote, right? Like I'm gonna give my vote now to the team that just beat the number one team in the country because they've won like 26 of their last, whatever it is, 35 games or something,
yeah.
you know?
Most of the people saying yes, the Suns do deserve it, basically made that point just there.
Okay.
They've beat the Utah Jazz twice now? Yeah. And people saying no is they keep losing games that they really should not be losing. So both are true.
Well, And that's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find that. That did not happen on Saturday night.
Here's Westbrook underneath. His close-in shot won't go. The rebound will not go by Gafford, and the Suns finally come up with it. Booker with a lead pass for Bridges, and he scores. That was another tremendous one-bounce pass from Booker.
I almost don't care what he did scoring-wise. Those two bounce passes.
The bounce pass.
Those were phenomenal, man.
Yeah. It was about 6.5 minutes left in the third quarter, and Westbrook drove, and he misses. D.A. was defending him. And I'm gonna, you know, I got to give D.A. some credit here. So Westbrook misses because D.A. is defending him. Gafford grabs the rebound, and then D.A. blocks the shot. And then he gives the ball to Book, who makes this amazing bounce pass to Bridges in between two Wizards players for a layup. Like, that's the type of thing, like, you could practice it, and you're gonna miss it 9 out of 10 times. You know, so I heard Vinny talking about this. I think when I was driving in, he was amazed at not just the pass, which was a great pass.
The catch and the finish. The catch and the finish. Like, oh, yeah.
But Mikal Bridges' hands are about the size of, like, most people's bodies. Like, his hands are just...
He's in possession of claws, is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah.
To catch that ball. To not be surprised by it, to not be over, oh, my God, here's the ball right in my lap, you know, and to have the wherewithal to go up in one motion. Yeah, it's like sometimes in football we'll debate what was better, the pass or the catch. The pass in this case was better than the catch. But don't dismiss the catch on either one from Mikal Bridges. The Suns took a Washington Wizards team that was not very good, and it took them a while to get there on Saturday
third quarter
night.
Because they beat them up in the third quarter. I mean, it was a struggle in the first half. It was a struggle in the first half. But once they got going in the second half and they put them away, I mean, it was a 4-point game, and the next thing you knew, 4 minutes later, they're up by 19, and it was done. It was over. It was Booker with a pull-up jumper, Booker with a three-pointer. First three-pointer of the game, by the way, in the third quarter. And then it was Crowder, and then D.A. with the spin move. It was a great move by D.A. Then Mikhail hit a jumper, then Booker, and then it was over. It was just like, okay, that's it. And I like that because the last time they played Washington, they lost by like 20.
Yep.
And this time they blew them out by almost 30. So I thought that they really responded. It did take a little while but once they got into that flow in the third quarter, there was no stopping.
Yeah, I mean, Booker got into that crazy flow where he just, you know, and Monty said you could see it from the minute they stepped on the floor in the third quarter that he was kind of in that zone there. Now it took a little bit of a halftime talk. Here's Monty after the game.
So we just talked about, you know, taking care of the paint, but picking up our energy and juice. I didn't think we played with, you know, continuous energy and juice, and the ball just wasn't moving enough in the second half, especially in the third quarter. I mean, we scored 44 points. Devin had it going, but I thought the ball just moved around the gym a lot better.
Yeah, Devin really did, and it was good to see him. He had struggled a little bit from the three-point line in his last few games, right? He was 0 for 6 against the Jazz. He was 0 for 2 against the Clippers. I think he was 0 for 2 or 3 to start the game on Saturday night, and then I think he hit 3 in that third quarter alone, and really, you could just see it, the confidence was really starting to grow, and he was Devin Booker in the third quarter, and he was almost single-handedly the reason why they were able to pull away. Though I would agree with you, DeAndre Ayton continues to play at a consistently good level, good to great level over the stretch of the last 2 weeks. Chris Paul spoke about him today.
Been great. I think it's been a learning process for all of us. Ayton has showed a lot of growth. You know, this is a new situation for him. A lot of, you know, new sets. Obviously, playing with me probably ain't the easiest thing either. So, he's been great.
That's interesting to hear Chris Paul admit that.
Yeah.
Playing with me is not the easiest thing either.
Yeah, it's not easy to play with me. Yeah,
he's demanding. He's got a very high standard, you know. And so now... Tonight, Houston Rockets in. This is a team that's depleted, missing a whole bunch of guys. Yeah. This is a team that, well, I think we all felt like the Suns probably should have beat up the last time they played them about a week and a half ago, and they didn't, and it took some Devin Booker heroics in the fourth quarter.
I mean, like, what's that guy that lets the bull go by? What's that guy called?
The Matador.
The Matador. Just that, yes. That's what the Houston defense is. They're like the Matador. Just come through.
Oh, the Houston defense has been awful lately. They're just so bad.
They've allowed 118 or more points in 7 of their past 8 games. 118 or more. They're the Matador, man. Come on through.
And if I remember right, the only one they've won was the one game where they didn't give up 118 or more, right? That was the only game they've won out of that stretch. So another chance for the Suns. And I think they got the Miami Heat coming up later on this week. Scoreboard watching. Man, we saw the Nuggets lose a crazy one over the weekend to the Celtics. Yeah. They scored 8 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The Nuggets did. The Clippers, they've won five straight. They
and then
won
the
again
Lakers,
yesterday.
The Lakers beat the Nets.
Yeah, who didn't have
Harden. And
KD was on a minutes restriction. Kyrie Irving got kicked out of the game. Hey, you know what? Fine.
Kyrie and Dennis Schroeder.
Let the Lakers
win. Let the Lakers
win.
So they don't fall into the play-in game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I was happy to see that. I've never been happy to see the Lakers win in my life. I was actually kind of happy to see the Lakers win.
I thought the same thing.
Let them win a few so they stay out of that play-in area. If everything holds true, and I know things can change, especially with the play-in tournament, right now the seventh seed is the Dallas Mavericks. And the Suns have a game and a half lead. They're actually tied in the win column, but they've got three fewer losses. So the Suns have a game and a half lead over the LA Clippers for number two right now.
Game and a half.
Conference. Game and a half. Tied in the win column, but the Clippers basically have played three more games and they have three more losses. That's kind of why the Suns have a game and a half lead at this point.
Listen, we'll just continue to scoreboard watch. Keep our eye on the Jazz, but I did agree with you. The Lakers, when they won that game, I'm like, you know what? I think that's actually good that they won that game.
Yep.
Just keep them out of the play-in game just in case you end up with the first or second seed. You don't want to end up with the Lakers in the second round.
Coyotes have hit a rough stretch. They currently find themselves out of the NHL playoffs if the season were to end today. Today, the season didn't end, but it was the trade deadline in the NHL. Why didn't they make a move before today's deadline? We'll tell you what we know next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Not a lot of games left for the Arizona Coyotes, and with this three-game losing streak they're on right now, if the season ended today, and it doesn't, but if it ended today, the Coyotes right now are 1 point back of the fourth and final West Division playoff position behind the St. Louis Blues. Now, I believe the Blues game against Minnesota
has been postponed
tonight because of what's going on in Minneapolis with the shooting and the sports teams and the curfew and things like that. So that'll have to get rescheduled, and I haven't seen it. They've gotten that rescheduled at some point. But the Blues do have one game in hand against the Coyotes. The Blues have won three straight games to reclaim fourth place. And today was the trade deadline in the NHL, and the Coyotes did not do anything. What do we know about this?
Well, there was interest in Goligoski and Garland, Connor Garland and Alex Goligoski. There was interest in those guys. Goligoski was the main guy. But there wasn't a good enough trade to be made for them. There was no interest in Antti Raanta. None. Zero. I think somebody said that there might have been. But there wasn't any interest in Raanta. He's always hurt, and he's got a $4.2 million salary coming up.
It was a TSN analyst who said that
analyst,
about
Raanta. There was no calls on Antti Raanta. There was zero. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wants to pay a backup goalie over $4 million who's always hurt. The tough news for the Coyotes. So Goligoski and Garland, there was a lot of interest. They're eventually going to trade Olive Oil, but you know they're going to have to wait till the summer to trade him, and they'll get themselves a new captain. Kemper.
I was going to say, for the uninitiated, Olive Oil would be?
Oh, Oliver.
Okay. Yeah, just want to make sure when you speak in code like that, Olive I want to make
oil.
Sure everybody knows who Olive Oil is.
He'll be a summertime deal. You know, he's got a no trade, but they don't want him. They haven't wanted him for a while, and they just got to find a deal for him. It'll probably be a summertime trade. Now, as far as the Coyotes are concerned, Hill's starting to wear down a little bit, right? He's played, I think, 9 out of 10 games. Darcy Kemper has had some setbacks, so he is not on schedule to return at the time that they were hoping. So there's some setbacks with Darcy Kemper.
Mm.
And so they're riding, you know, Hill's the third string goalie.
They're riding him hard.
I'm
looking at the schedule, man. They are riding him hard. It was, you know, before Kemper got hurt, and even when he did, it was Hill and Raanta and Raanta for a couple and then Hill for a couple and kind of back and forth. But ever since Tuesday, March 23rd, it has been all Aiden Hill nobody but Aiden Hill.
Raanta should be back, but who knows with him. But he should be back to give him a little bit of a break. But the bad news is that Kemper is not ready. There's been setbacks to his return. He's going to continue to be out for a while. So I'm really – that's very disappointing because to get to that playoff spot, I mean, Darcy Kemper is one of the best goalies in the NHL. you really want to get Darcy Kuemper back. So that's tough. Aiden Hill has done a nice job. He was fantastic yesterday, but they've been relying on him so much, and they just right now they just don't have the goaltending depth.
They lost to Vegas yesterday 1-0, and the only goal was scored with about 9 minutes to go in the game in the third period yesterday. They bounced back nicely from giving up, what, 7 goals on Friday night, if I remember right. Yeah, that was not good. I have to imagine for them, and again, I defer to you on this one. I have to imagine for them with a trade deadline, they're kind of in a tough spot in that they're
in it.
They're in it. And so you want to add, but at the same time, you know, how much do you want to add and what do you have to give up to add and how far do you want to go for it in a season where even if you do get into the postseason, it's not like you're going to go on a deep run or anything. But at the same time, you don't want to go selling right now either because you're in it. You're in it, right there. You want to give
this group a chance. You almost want to give this group a chance. Hey, we didn't trade anybody. Let's see what we can do. Can you get to the playoffs or not? They'll shop in the summertime. You see, if you make a trade and you add a guy's salary for 2 or 3 years, it also takes you out of shopping in the summertime. So they do have 2 second-round picks coming up. That'll be a good deal, even though they don't have the first. Taylor Hall got traded today. He was a disaster with the Buffalo Sabres. He got traded to the Boston Bruins. He was just awful in Buffalo.
I did see that.
Oh, just awful in Buffalo. The Bruins decided to take a chance on him.
Yeah.
But Goligoski and Garland were the main calls, and they just weren't able to pull the trigger on a deal for either one.
Yeah, for the Coyotes, again, they're back in action tonight. They're back in Colorado, if I remember right. I'm looking at the schedule.
Yes, yeah, Colorado tonight.
They're in Colorado tonight, then Minnesota, then another big game against St. Louis coming up. That's the team that they're kind of chasing and going back and forth. 3 of their next 5 games are against the Minnesota Wild. They've only got, I think I just did the count a second ago, 14 games left.
How many games against the Kings? They just traded Jeff Carter.
3 games left against the Kings.
They're done, so that'll be good because they traded Jeff Carter. Now the teams are going to play the Kings too, but you'll get a little bit of a break with them, I believe.
They went through a stretch. The Coyotes did, where they won 6 of 7 games, right? And that stretch concluded just about a week ago against the Kings. They've lost 3 straight ever since. And you do wonder kind of if this team is on the verge of, you know, did they expend all the energy they had to keep themselves in it and to stay afloat with that 6 of 7? And how much do they have left in the tank with a goaltender situation?
When was the last time Kuemper played?
Sounds like it's starting to run a little bit on empty, right? I mean, like, they just don't have very many options. And even if they do get Rantz back, it's not like they've got a ton of choices there at that spot. It almost feels like, you know, I think I can. Do they have enough gas to get there with what they've got before the end of the season, in particular goalie? That seems to be kind of the big question.
They've done
a really
great job. Outside of that loss to the Kings, they've done a really good job of beating a lot of the teams that they're supposed to beat, Anaheim, San Jose, and the Kings. That's what's kept them in this thing. But they're kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors because, I mean, Kuemper's been out for, what, almost 2 months now?
Yeah.
I mean, you're without your best player for a couple of months. And again, like I'm saying, I'm telling you now, he's had a setback and he's not going to be ready to return anytime soon.
Looks like
that's
the
not
last
good.
Time Kuemper played was Saturday, March 6th against the Wild. So it's been a month and a half. Yeah, been a month and a half.
And it'll probably get to 2 months because he's, like I said, set back, not ready to come back.
Yeah. And
terrible.
Without your best player, you know, there's only so far you can do and only so far you can go when you have a situation like that. You don't have to be a star athlete to get your signing bonus. What you need to do is text the word bonus right now. It's 620-620. Listen for your name this afternoon here on the Burns and Gambo Show at 3:35, and you could win $500. Again, text the word bonus, B-O-N-U-S, to 620-620, the Arizona Sports Signing Bonus, and your chance to win some good, hard cash at 3:35 this afternoon with us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The D-backs rotation found a little rhythm over the weekend against the Reds. And now it's Madison Bumgarner's turn yet again. Can he continue that trend tonight with the A's in town? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.